It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. If you're so very glad you are joining me, better late than never. You know, a trip to the doctor's office today really made me realize we need to see the forest from the trees, America. And as Bernie Sanders is proposing a bill, Medicare for All, and Democrats are starting to line up behind it, actually, we really need to, again, work from the yes and not from the no. It's a recurring theme here on my show, because I believe you get what you expect. You get what you come from. If you come from negativity, you're going to get it. If you don't think something's going to work, it ain't. But let's just start with the beginning, and that is with me at the doctor's today. Now, as you know, 19 days ago, I quit opiates. It was August 25th that I quit opiates, just quit cold turkey. And my kindly and wonderful physician, Dr. Rubin, chastised me today. He said, you've done that before. It's horrible for you. You should have let me help you through it. He doesn't realize that when you're on opiates and you decide to get off of them, it's like suicide. You don't talk about it, you do it. You don't make plans to do it. You don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll call the doctor. No. When you're finally done with those pills, even if you need them for chronic pain, as I do and as he pointed out today, I am not an addict. I am not one of these people that you hear about in the news. I really, truly need them. Even though I truly need them, I said no to them. So he got upset at me today again, because he's like, I could have helped you through that. I said, no one can help you through that. It's sheer 4 days of hell. You got to get to day four so you can go forward. Then you can help me. It's why I'm here now, you know, but you got to get to day four first. So there is a concern, however, that the years of opiates have messed up my body, and that my body is pretty messed up from what I need the opiates for, meaning my back is truly messed up. Three different bulging discs. Not one, not two, but three. One only has a 2 millimeter, the other has a 4 millimeter, and the other has a 9 millimeter disc. That's a centimeter, millimeter, I don't know, whatever. It's on the. It's big. They're big. And they're both, two of them are pressing on what's called your thecal, T-H-E-C-A-L, thecal sac. And, you know, that's not good. It causes pain. And I'm out of alignment. I'm curved because of it. I've been walking like a ruptured duck. Today, I just got a compliment at a restaurant that I'm walking much better. People are noticing. So I've been having abdominal issues like you just wouldn't believe. Just like pain on both sides of my flanks, my groin area, and bloating. Just abdominal issues that haven't quit. And they're real. As he said today, these are real issues. You're not making these up. You're having them. So we're going to do a CT with and without contrast in my stomach. He also took seven tubes of blood today to test my kidneys and thyroid and testosterone to see how it's rebounding now that there's no opiate suppressing its production. So we basically had to redo, and I'm dizzy. I really am. They just took the blood at 1 o'clock. I'm like, whoa. But I ate, and I've had some water and stuff. Anyway. But think about what I just said, okay? Yes, I had to wait for an appointment a week, okay? So 6 days, basically. When I went in, I gave them $20, because I'm still insured until the end of the month. I gave them $20. I sat there and experienced hell for an hour and a half, from 11:30 to 1. Hell! Oh, my God. There was two Cambodian, because we're in Cambodia town, two Cambodian patients, husband and wife. She's on a walker. The husband leaves. Her phone rings. With every ring, her obnoxiously horrifying ringtone gets louder and louder. By the fourth ring, I want to grab the phone and break it. She answers the phone on speaker, and all I hear, excuse me, all I hear is what sounds like, and so then she, not looking upset, which it sounded upsetting to me. If someone had said that to me, I would have just freaking hung up the phone. But no. She actually smiles a little. And they start. And she goes. And I timed it. She went for 240 seconds, 4 minutes. 4 minutes of fingernails across a chalkboard. I ain't gonna go behind. Oh. The most offensive language to my ears. I'm sorry. The Asian dialects. All of them. Japanese, Chinese, all of them. When they're being spoken, I don't find them beautiful at all. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't. That's not racist. I don't mean they're uglier languages. They're older than England. They're older than Romantic. But still, I don't like them. When they're misused. Well, that gives everybody in the effing doctor's office pause to get on their effing devices. Okay? And so suddenly I'm here. This one Hispanic lady starts watching a female evangelist on YouTube with no headphones on her phone. And I know enough Spanish to know that this woman is preaching over there, honey. And she's sitting there with it in front of her face, and all I can hear is Jesus Christ do this and blah, 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 that and Santa Maria. And I swear to God, I wanted to send her to meet her maker right then and there. I'm like, headphones, you silly witch. So the lady with the damn... So here's the rule. Cell phones, no. No, not in doctor's offices. Sorry. Turn it off, put it away. You ain't that important. Read a magazine, read a book. Do what you used to do. You know what I did? You know, I did this. I swear to Christ I did this. I took out my iPad Pro because I had it with me, and I'm very lucky to have one. And I put on classical music on the iPad Pro. And I just set it next to me. And then it played some Ella Fitzgerald and then some Billie Holiday. And I just let it play. And you know what happened after about 15 minutes? Everybody turned off their phones. Everybody put down their gadgets. People started speaking to each other. And some people started enjoying the music. So much so that when I finally got called back an hour and 20 minutes later, they asked me if I could leave the music. I said, hell to the no. Thank you. Leave my iPad out here. I kept playing it in my room, though. And Dr. Rubin walks in and says, what's with the music? I said, you know what? I had forgotten how much I love music and how much it calms me and centers me and gives me guidance when I need it and makes me cry for no reason other than the song is just that sad. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Yeah, just go kill yourself after that one. Or, oh my God, today I heard When We Were Young by Adele at the doctor's office. I played it. When we were young, and I'm sitting here. He gave me a flu shot today. I didn't want the flu shot. I said, I don't want the flu shot. He said, you're getting a flu shot. I said, I don't want the flu shot. Read my lips. And he said, you've never had one. I said, and I'm never going to get one. They're bogus. He's like, you're not one of those. I said, no, I am not an anti-vaxxer. But in terms of flu shots, they're bogus. And he looked at me. And do you know what this doctor said to me today? They're not bogus when you're just 2 months this side of 55. Sit down. You're getting the flu shot. So then I asked him, I said, do you remember how old my mother was when she started to see you? He said she was 53. I said, I am now the age that my mother was when she came to see you. He goes, yes. And I said, so how freaking old are you? So I'm not making up what I just did, what I'm about to do. So I said to my doctor of 30 plus years, have you had your flu shot yet? He said, well, no, I haven't had time. And I said, I'm not getting a flu shot unless you get a flu shot. And his nurses were like, they were like zoomed right in. And he said, what? I said, you sit right across from me. Right, you sit right there, and you go ahead and you get your flu shot the same way as I get mine right now, and then I'll take it. Otherwise, no. Well, he got a flu shot, so did I. Think about that. See, there's a point to me telling you this story. I got a flu shot, a vaccine. Vaccines, as we know, can save nations. There are people in the world who would be able to live, their children would be able to live if they could just get a malaria vaccine, an Ebola vaccine, a simple flu vaccine, HPV. Oh, yeah. So what I want to talk about isn't just that we shouldn't have cell phones in the room, in the doctor's office, and we shouldn't, meaning in the lobby. We should not. we shouldn't complain about the hour and a half wait. It's remarkable that we can access so much medicine in an hour and a half. He then sent me to a lab to have labs drawn, 7 tubes of blood. That'll be back in 3 business days. I'm having a chest x-ray because he listened all around and then ordered an x-ray. So I have a chest x-ray coming and a CT with and without contrast of my pelvis and my stomach. Now he's doing it to make sure I haven't messed anything up while I was on the opiates and to see if some of the things that are going on with me right now could be, you know, something worse. He doesn't think they are, but he just wants to make sure. Think about all of that health care I'm getting in a week. In 1 week, I will have had an x-ray, a CT scan, a flu shot, 2 urinalysis, 7 tubes of blood analyzed, and seen, what, 3 separate doctors? Because you see the CT, the this, that. Now, we grouse and complain and we bitch and we moan about healthcare in this country. Okay, we do. But the fact of the matter is, we do have the best healthcare in the land. And more, it is being made accessible to even the poorest of the poor, as Bernie Sanders wants to do today with Medicare for All. So I want us to remember that they will tell us Obamacare is failing, our healthcare system is failing, all of that. No, the insurance companies are failing. The profit centers are eating themselves. The pharmaceuticals are failing because they're not, you know, making the profits they feel they should be. But our healthcare system, that's not failing. It's actually more accessible in greater degree and with an enormous amount of power at your disposal, even if you are the poorest of the poor. Now, is it the number one cause of bankruptcy? Yes. Should everyone be have access to all the best care? Absolutely. Can we afford to give it to everybody? Yes, we can. So, okay, so we're all on board with that. All of us are. But I just want us to remember the marvel, the modern marvel that our healthcare system in this country is. We have got to start acknowledging when we do things right. And while the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical and all that, the fact is we have access to incredible technology to diagnose and treat illnesses, even at local doctors' offices. And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Kirill Cast, and you've got all of me, honey. Honey, you might have heard that video killed the radio star. It didn't. It made this one an even bigger one. That's why you got to go every day and watch at reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell.com. Also, facebook.com/reallycarell. Watch me live every day at noon. It is a Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me. So, forest from the trees, people. Forest from the trees. We now live in a country where they don't want us to see the forest. They just want us to look at the tree. That's it. They don't want us to see the grander picture. And that's kind of sad because we have built some remarkable systems in our country. And we are to be commended. Our healthcare system has kept more people alive longer than any healthcare system in the world, period. That's why they still want to come here from all over the world. When our healthcare system is at its best and you have access to it and you have good doctors in a good facility and you are getting great care, there is none better. And that's just the truth. To our doctors, our nurses, my God, doctors' offices, hospitals, everywhere run on nurses. To the nurses out there, so much love. You know, you're underpaid. We have problems in the healthcare system, but see, those are the trees, okay? The problems are the trees that the nurses aren't paid what they should be, that doctors have to deal with, in some ways, too high of insurance premiums because the insurance companies set those premiums. So, you know, they shouldn't be raped like they are for malpractice insurance, and there shouldn't be the plethora of malpractice cases that there are. You know, they all should be vetted by, like, mine was vetted before it could move forward, you know, and they should be vetted, certainly, to make sure that they have merit. You know, so There's a lot of things that, but that's the trees. The forest is that it's the best healthcare system in the effing world. Because let me tell you what would be happening to me if I were in Ireland right now, or France or Germany or wherever. If I was having the pain I'm having and the distress I'm having and all that, I could go either into the urgent care, or I could go and see a GP, a general prison, and they would want the same test, the same blood test, the same urinalysis, the same CTs, except over there, if I had private insurance that I buy, just like here, then I could probably get all that within 2 weeks. If I did not have private insurance and they did not deem it urgent, I could wait months for a CT. Months. Even in Canada. My appointment is Tuesday, and I thought that was too far out. But in another country, it could be months if the doctor deems it routine or not urgent. So after he felt around in my gut, he said, well, you know, I don't feel anything, but let's get a CT. So he doesn't think it's urgent. So if I were in a different country, months, okay? I left there, and I went to my pharmacy to pick up propafenone for my atrial fibrillation. I get it every month, the same day. They have it ready. They have it waiting. They've already billed the insurance. They already have it charged to my credit card. I don't even have to call in a refill. On my blood pressure and my AFib medicine, every month my pharmacy just has it. And if I don't get it on the day I'm supposed to, they'll deliver it the next day. Now, you, I don't care if you're dead broke, have access to drugs in some way, shape, or form. You could go to the ER and get them. But you have access to antibiotics if you need them. In other countries, people die because they can't simply get amoxicillin. And I'm not saying that we should forgive all the ails of our system. I just don't think because we're inundated with it now that we appreciate it for the marvelous thing that it really truly is. It can be abused. It can abuse us. Absolutely. I've seen all the commercials. By the way, how many of us have cancer now that there's new Neulasta commercials? They're advertising a drug for you to take after you have chemotherapy. How many Americans are on chemotherapy if there's a TV commercial for a drug that involves chemotherapy? How many effing of us have cancer exactly? And why is nobody talking about that? Cancer is so prevalent now that Cancer Centers of America are major advertisers on daytime TV, and Neulasta is a major advertiser. How many cancer patients are there? Wow. Just big wows. But still, we're curing it. We're treating it with biologics. We're doing that. We're leading that way. So my experience today taught me that even though there are so many problems in the medical healthcare system, if you're in America, you really still have access to the best that there is. In some way, shape, or form, you do. Maybe not the best access, maybe not access when you absolutely need it, but whatever, you can get care. And even a little bit, like you can go to an ER right now and not have any money, and they will treat you. And that hospital, even if you're in a small town, has more advanced medical care, medical imaging, medical diagnostics, and treatments than most countries throughout the world. So let's remember, let's start looking at the forest in America. You know, when we come back, I'm going to tell you another forest and how we just look at the trees. And we don't acknowledge that, you know what, we've done really well with this system. You know, this is a good thing. What we're doing here in principle is good. Now, the implementation is sucking, but in principle, caring for people with the latest technologies, the best medications, all of that, as quickly and humanely as possible, that actually is a great system. And it's ours. That is our system. So let's not lose sight of that, okay? Truly. Even if you're on Medi-Cal, I have a friend who's on Medi-Cal, and she got home visiting nurses. You know, when I say the Carell Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallycarell.com and just click. The Daily Carell Cast is sponsored by you. That's right. $5 or more a month through Patreon keeps the Carell Cast on air. Thank you to all the Patreon subscribers. And if you're not one, all you have to do is go to reallycarell.com and click on Patreon. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. Don't forget, I'm supported by you, quite literally. Boy, I got to tell you, before we go on and say forest from the trees and talk about like our education system, which really is one of the best in the world, it just should be free. But the fact that we always fight over tuition, we lose track of the fact that our college system is possibly one of the best in the world and turns out still some of the brightest people around. And I know our inner cities are failing and our inner city schools are failing, and I know that kids are dumber now than ever, but they're also smarter than ever. I mean, there's a yin and a yang there. And those smart ones, they come from our schools. They do. Oh, the Chinese surpass us in math. Maybe. But they don't surpass us in imagination. Creativity. I'm sorry. We still actually rule the world in that, too. The Emmys are this weekend. The world will watch. Why? Because our television is worldwide. Why? Because we rule the world creatively. And that's just the truth. Our box office stars are stars everywhere. And meanwhile, stars over there are not stars over here. But our stars over here are stars everywhere. You know, Justin Bieber is mobbed in every country. But most of you have no idea who Emily Sande is, who is mobbed over in Europe, not here. So as hard as they might try to break over here, a lot of them don't. But ours always break over there. Why? Because we rule the world creatively. Maybe we're not the smartest in math, and maybe we don't have all the best engineers. You want to make a damn good movie? Call Steven Spielberg. So, again, forest and trees. We have been, you know, just looking at the minutiae of everything. We micro-dissect every single thing. For instance, Medicare for All that's in the news today from Bernie Sanders should be passed by the Congress immediately. You buy into it based on your income, period. End of story. Your income less than 55K, you just get it, period. That's it. Here, you're insured. Go anywhere you want. See any doctor you want. You're insured. Healthcare companies will still sell private insurance. It will not be the end of insurance as you know it. It'll be just like in Europe. There'll be the one system, and then if you have the extra insurance, yes, you will get better care. Now, is that unfortunate? It is. But if that's the unfortunate situation that has to happen so everybody can get healthcare, then I'm okay with it. And maybe you'll buy extra, and maybe you won't. And maybe you'll be blessed enough to afford it. But if you're not blessed enough to afford it, you'll still get great health care. Because even at our lowest, our worst hospital in America is still better than most hospitals anywhere else. And that's just the truth. It really is. So forest and trees, I think it's really super-duper-duper important that we just remember that. You know, that sometimes you got to back up. It's like my life. I've had to back up from it for a minute. I'm so in it with you guys every day. God, you guys are in it with me too, aren't you? How blessed. 10 of you, 100 of you, 10,000 of you, a million of you. What's it matter? What does that number matter? I just got an email today. This email, what did I get? It was so sweet. This guy said, you know, I listened at your website. I'm going to donate. You know, as soon as I can get to the Patreon and, you know, get some cash together, I'm going to donate so you can keep doing what you do. I just want you to know how important you are to my life. You know that I listen to you. Matthew Williams, he said to me, Carell, just wanted to do a shout out to you and let you know I love your website. I listen to you every day. It gets me through my day. I'll be donating soon to help you keep doing what you do. Love you. You don't know how much you help me with my day-to-day life, and that means a lot. Well, There we go. If I come out here and tell you about my day-to-day life as this big old loudmouth queer, and it can help you get through your day-to-day life, then isn't that a life well lived? I mean that. Isn't that a life well lived? Isn't my show worth something then? Just because it reaches him. If nothing else, just because it reaches him and helps him, you know, all I know is that in life, sometimes you got to step back. You know, in this election, let's step back for a minute. We're surviving under Trump. We will survive under Trump. He's not going to launch World War III. He wants to survive. The Republicans are evil, and they're trying to be nicer now because they want to stay in power. Even Paul Ryan today said, we're not deporting anybody. He said that. He said, we're not deporting any dreamers. He said that. You know, so they know what's what, okay? They're fighting for their political lives. Do I want him president? No. Is he horrible? Yes. Does he make me cry often? Absolutely, he does. He really, truly does. But, we're surviving. So let's step back a moment, okay? The worst didn't happen. The country didn't fold. We didn't end. We didn't die. We're all still here. Our economy is still clunking along, and it's all still just as fragile and horrible as it was before. And no, we're not as well liked, and no, the guy in power isn't as sweet as Obama and all of that, but at the same time, we're here. We're here. Okay? We're here. We're still able to try to talk about things like Medicare for all. Okay? And, you know, this tax plan he's doing, he is trying to include Democrats. He won't, you know, get his plan unless he doesn't do a tax break for the rich. You know, Republicans say you must, and Democrats are going to say, no, you can't. So he's going to have to compromise on that. You know, he's going to. So as I look ahead from stepping back, I see that, I don't want to say there's hope, you know, because maybe there's not. Maybe we are on the decline. But I think if we step back and look at our country and look at the administration and look at our politicians and stop looking at all the minutiae, you know, someone asked me yesterday, and when I went on my rant about Hillary, that Hillary let us down. And, you know, that it was X to blame for the election and not Bernie Sanders. That's what this person said to me. And I said back, who do you suppose is to blame? There's at least three of you in the chat room right now, and there's some of you at Facebook. I came on late. You didn't know what time, so I forgive you. But who is to blame for the election of Donald Trump? What went wrong? Hillary has her book out. What happened? Democrats don't want her to be talking about it. By the way, I know there's a school shooting today in Spokane, Washington. I'm not talking about it. I don't talk about school shootings. They're horrific. I don't know that I'd put a child in public school right now. I'm being serious. It's a heart attack. I am. And I'm not going to give any universal energy to the fact other than if we don't control guns, we're morons. And the more of these shootings that happen, the more we're morons. But one dead, right, and several wounded, just stupid. Just like in Florida, the nursing home tragedy, I'm sure you think I'm going to go off on that. What do you say? What do you say when old people are locked in a nursing home and all of a sudden the air turns poison and they pretty much die? How do you comment about that? How do you comment about the Italian family whose 8-year-old boy went down into the volcanic mud and then they go in the hole after to get him and they all three die while they're 7-year-old? I told my friends and family they should have gotten naked and thrown their tied their clothes together and thrown them down to the boy. But both parents going in after the one boy was irresponsible. They had another child. And my friend Ken said, how could you not? And I said, you're going to have to do a Sophie's Choice. You're going to have to say one of us has to try to rescue the child while one of us goes for help. You know, you're just that because you have another child. Now there's a 7-year-old orphan whose parents and brother were baked in hot mud and boiled and skinned right in front of them. No, that child's not going to have issues. So what do we say about that tragedy? You know, there's a lot of stuff in the news that I don't talk about because what is there to say? And what is there to say about any of this? The keys. Did you hear? 40% of the houses destroyed completely. And of the 60% that are left, 90% of those are damaged. That sounds like the keys are over to me. Doesn't it sound like they're over to you? Forest from the trees. Let's step back and stop talking about our typical we must rebuild, we must rebuild, we must rebuild. Why must we rebuild? Why? The keys should probably go. Well, they went. They're gone. Why rebuild? Anyway, forest from the trees about the election. The only one that we have to blame is the people of America. Hillary didn't mess up. She did her best job at running. You know, Bernie messed up, but still didn't. There was enough Americans out there, enough voters, enough people who could have voted to just quash any Bernie supporters that may have, just, you know, not voted for Hillary. Still, only what, 60% of the electorate voted? So there was 40% of the people that didn't even care enough to go to the polls? As in every election, the only one to blame for what happened is the people of the United States. Now, I'm not saying you, because if you're listening to me, chances are you voted properly. When I say properly, I mean not for a misogynist, sexist, lying, egotistical bigot. So, I don't care who else you voted for. You didn't vote for that. So I do care who else you voted for. If you voted for Bernie in the final election, not the primary, but the final, then I have a problem. I do. With everybody. But anyway, anyone that did that. What I'm trying to say is America lets itself down all the time and then tries to find someone to blame for it. You know, oh, this is a horrible situation. How did we get into this situation? Who's to blame? Well, the truth is, you're to blame, America. But we don't take the blame well, do we? We don't. We don't take the blame well. We don't like to take blame. We don't like, oh, I guess we are responsible. We don't like to do that. In fact, it's very seldom that we do that. That we'll say, oh, no, yeah, it's our fault. We did it. Yeah, no, we won't. Who does that? Why would anyone do that? So we are to blame, we the people, collectively, not you and I individually. Again, forest from the trees. The forest is responsible for what happened to the tree. You know, that's the way that was. So if we could just step back, you know, just step back and look at the bigger pictures and remember what we're fighting about and fighting for. Step back and look at the healthcare system and acknowledge it's a great system. That's what we're fighting for. Access to this great system that's going to keep getting better. That, remember that. That's what you're fighting for. Remember when you're fighting for education, when you're fighting for infrastructure, what are you fighting for? Step back. I fight for infrastructure that's futuristic. I want high-speed trains. I want cities moved and rebuilt and relocated. To me, that's the future. Okay? And because I can see it, it can be the future. You just have to see it too. And I think we've all gotten tunnel vision. We can't see the forest anymore. We don't even know we're in a forest. We can't see America anymore. We just see California or Long Beach or San Francisco or Santa Rosa or Las Vegas or New Orleans or New York or wherever you might be, Bahrain and, you know, Dublin. We just see that. And then we see a little bigger, like our state. But then we don't see the whole country and our place in it. We don't see the forest. We just see the trees that we're around. And that's why we're in this mess. It really is. In the election, we didn't step back and really look. It got to be such a fight and such a fury. No one stepped back and said, well, let me really look at who's running and what their qualifications are. No, it was all emotion. There was no stepping back and not looking at the tree. Trump supporters were not able to stop looking at him for a moment and look at the country. You know, what shape was it in? What are the real numbers? What's going on? They weren't able to do that. All they could see was the orange tree. They couldn't see the forest that he would be the leader of. And that's sad. That's how that happened. It's how it always happens. They're myopic. They're one-visioned. They were angry. And everything was filtered through red glasses. All right. We have a little more left. So we'll be back. Don't forget. ReallyCorrell.com is where you go. That's where you go and you listen and you read and you watch and you enjoy and hell, bathe in it, roll in it. I don't care. Just go there. ReallyCorrell. That's ReallyCorrell.com. My phlebotomist did not bruise me, but the tape that she put on me has bruised me. Ain't that something? Modern medicine. It's wonderful, but at the same time, ow, you got to try to outlive it. It's called the medical practice, after all. Are you watching Life in Segments? You should be. Now in its third season, that's right, three seasons on Free Speech TV. You can also watch it every single day at lifeinsegments.com. Life in Segments, the great reality chat show from yours truly. Chat with other Carell listeners. Watch me live. Get a live feel of the show every day at noon at reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell, K-A-R-E-L.com. Also at facebook.com/reallycorrell. Check me out every day at noon. Got what I really need, money. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. So very glad that you are joining me today. It is another tragic day in America, another school shooting. Kids should not be, you know, killed in high schools or face guns in high schools. It's just ridiculous. Forest from the trees, people. 15 Marines have been injured in a training accident at Camp Pendleton. 8 dead as Florida nursing home left without power. The nursing home just didn't have any electricity. And the air turned toxic. That's just great. That's just great. Meanwhile, I don't know what's up with the Supreme Court, but they're allowing his travel ban to pretty much stand up and just discriminate against as many people. If you were in Northern California over the last couple of days, you got the electric light show of life. There was light, more lightning than humans could possibly imagine. There's photos of it everywhere. 5,000 bikes have been abandoned at Burning Man. That's a place where you're supposed to leave no trace. They've left 5,000 bikes. So that's you know, these are some of the headlines. By the way, your favorite guy that you like to hate, that Schreckle guy, he violated his parole or his bail, and the judges said, off to jail. Off to jail. I guess he offered $5,000 for Clinton's hair, and he said that was a violation of something. I don't know. Something. 8-year-old biracial boy hung from rope by tree. By teens. Isn't that a lovely headline? 8-year-old biracial boy was hung from rope by teens. And why do you suppose that those teens felt empowered enough to do that? Why do you suppose that is? Could it be because the president and the tone the president has set? You know? Could that be it? By the way, if you watch Goodfellas and Sopranos, Frank Vincent, he died today, 70 plus. So I look at this stuff and I just wonder, are we looking at the forest or the trees? This is one story that I shared today, so I should share it with you before I go. There was a homeless guy, okay, just minding his own homeless business, laying on the sidewalk like a homeless person's all want to do. And there was this car near him that was on and just idling, and the music was all loud and horrible. This is in Nashville, I guess, Tennessee. And it's a Porsche, right? Probably a 911, a cheap one, but still a Porsche. And so the homeless guy gets up from his abode where he was sleeping and says, hey, lady, can you either turn off the car, turn off the music, whatever. You're gassing me out here, and your music's horrible. So this lady, if you can call her that, Miss Quackenbush, it's an SUV, a Porsche SUV, actually. So this Quackenbush lady yells at him, and he yells at her back, and then she yells at him, and then he just all hell with it, and he goes, lays back down in his little homeless ensconcement. What does Miss Quackenbush do? She gets a gun out of her car and shoots the homeless guy twice. She wasn't attacked, you know, he wasn't beaten on the car, nope. He was over back in his little homeless place, and she goes and shoots him in the stomach twice. Why? Because homeless people have no value to her, because in our country, they're seen as a problem, the homeless problem. Okay? When something is called a problem, it's meant to get rid of. Homeless are not a problem. Homelessness is a problem. Okay? Can we be clear on that? Homeless, i.e. those people who are homeless, are not a problem. Even the ones pooping in behind my garage, they're not the problem. The fact that they are homeless and that homelessness is the problem. Homelessness is the problem, not the homeless. So you don't shoot the homeless, but they are the number one for rape, murder, torture, all of it, the homeless. Those are the first victims of crime. And yet we hate them. You hate them. You want them off the streets. You don't care if they round them up, turn them into Soylent Green. A big bonfire would be fine with some of you. And that's the truth. You're so sick of seeing these people with their carts and their stench. And, you know, in your neighborhoods and by your schools, as far as you're concerned, put them on a bus and send it over a cliff. They're useless specks. We have too many people anyway. They contribute nothing to society. They are just a drain. Get rid of them. I know that's how you feel, because I feel that way sometimes too. Until I remember I was homeless for over a year, slept in my car, took little sponge baths. This morning, when Ember and I did our 2.5-mile walk, I went to my park on Broadway in Junipero, and all 6 bathrooms were locked. And that's because there were people inside of them living or bathing or whatever. And I got so angry, and I couldn't find a bathroom, so I peed on a bush this morning. I did. I peed on a bush in a corner because all 6 public restrooms were locked and full of homeless people. But as angry as I wanted to get, that's in the one of the same type facilities where I used to take a shower in the mornings using the sink. So there, but, right? I am Carell. No after show today, but it will return tomorrow. Be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody. I'd like to believe my podcast is worth at least a quarter. So how about you go to my website, reallycarell.com. That's reallycarell.com, and join Patreon right there. And every month you can give us $4.99 for the Carell Cast. Buy a podcast, damn you. I agree with Randy Rhodes. Buy one. Mine. You know, anytime you're feeling down and feel like you can't reach your goal, I want you to go to lifeinsegments.com, where you'll find 3 seasons of my TV show from Free Speech TV. Now, everyone told me that show wasn't going to happen, but now there's 3 seasons of it there for you at lifeinsegments.com. Believe.
When they go low, we go high.
It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. It's the after show. In answer to your question in the chat room at Really Carell, no, I've had food. I had a shake right before I went on air. High protein, too. It's not that. It's something. I don't know what it is. And whenever it happens, my heart goes crazy, too. My heart hasn't been going crazy. But whatever this is, whenever it starts, my heart goes into AFib, too. That leads me to believe, back to the opiate thing, 1 in 3 of you, it leads me to believe that it's still a pituitary gland thyroid issue. Because those go crazy when you're on opiates. They slow way down. And then, when you quit them, they ramp way up. So I've gone from not producing hormones to overproducing them. That's got to play with you. That's got to do something. And realizing that I'm physically out of shape. Now, see, when you're medicated, I'm going to talk a little more about this, especially during the after show. When you're fucking high, okay, even though you're not high, when you're on opiates for pain, you're not high. You're not, but you're medicated. And when you're medicated, you don't want to do much. You really don't. And so subsequently, you don't. Okay? You don't. And I wasn't. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I was doing my show, and that was about it. I wasn't really walking. I'd walk Ember in the morning just a block or two, or just to Rose Park and back. That's not even a half mile and back. I used to walk 4 miles every morning. When I got ran over with Pippa, it was on the end of our 4 mile walk. Now I don't. I don't do it. I used to drink a lot of water, but since I quit opiates, my stomach has hurt nonstop. Nonstop. My stomach has been in a cramp nonstop for 14 days. Okay, this is why people don't fucking quit. This is the truth. This is why they don't quit. My stomach has been in a cramp for 14 days. Nothing will take it away. K.O. Pectate, Pepto-Bismol, it just won't do it. I've had gas. I've had weird movements at all time of the day. I sweat like a pig. They don't sweat, but you know what I mean. And then I don't. But let me tell you this. I got to share this with you. I feel like shit. And yet, I have never felt better in my life. Explain that. Explain that. I feel like crap, you guys. I do. I do. Physically, I feel like crap. I went to acupressure yesterday, acupuncture, and, you know, I feel like crap. And yet, I have never felt better. Mentally, I have never felt better. I feel on it. I have done so much stuff in the last 3 days in terms of work that I've needed to do and haven't done. I have been a little producing dynamo. And yet, I've been doing it while wondering if I'm dying. And that's the truth. Like, did I mess up something so badly that it's just going to go haywire and short circuit? And so, my message to the 1 in 3 of you out there, okay? To the 1 in 3 of you. This ain't easy, okay? It ain't easy. It is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do because of how it makes me feel. I want relief right now. I don't want to feel this way, okay? I want to do my shows. My brain is now working. I want my body to follow suit. But it's not. Because while I was medicated, I did too much bad stuff to it. I didn't move it. I didn't give it proper nutrients throughout the day. I ate poorly, you know, because you're medicated and you just don't care. You'll have Chinese food for lunch and pizza for dinner. You know what I'm saying? No fruits or vegetables for a day or two unless it's on a pizza or in a sandwich or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, when you're medicated, you don't want to get up and cook. I've spent more time in the kitchen in the last week since I quit the opiates, and I hate my life at the moment. I hate that part of my life right now. Oh, my God, because I can't eat processed foods. And I said this to you all yesterday about making yogurt and making bread and making this and making ice cream and making that. It's exhausting. I have been exhausted by the kitchen in the last, like, 5 days. Literally holding myself up at the counter because I'm dizzy while chopping, you know. But I had to get it done. And so that's been exhausting me. All right. I talk about leaving and selling Park Howard, and I think we're all trying to evaluate, do we want to be where we're at? We're all being priced out of our homes, our, you know, just all of it. Rents are just soaring, especially in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, New York, Dallas. What are people to do? Well, a lot of them are moving other places, but where? Where around these places is still affordable enough? You know, if you live near LA or San Francisco, if you're a city anywhere right outside of it, which is how the Richmonds and all of those started back in the day, well, now even those are too expensive. So what do you do? Well, a lot of Bay Area people are moving over to Sacramento, the capital of our state. And ironically, my parents and I used to live there when I was about 13 years old. And I have looked at houses in Sacramento. I have. There's been a few reasons I haven't gotten gung-ho about it. First of all, it's Sacramento. Okay, it's called Cowtown, okay? I don't know that I'd be a hit there. That's the first thing. Second of all, it's a floodplain. It's surrounded by dikes and levees and the whole thing, and they were all made by the Army Corps of Engineers, and they're going to fail. So there's that. And the third is, it's Sacramento. I mean, that's all I can say. It's Sacra-frickin-mento. And as I read stories in the Chronicle today, San Francisco Chronicle, about people who had moved from the Bay Area over there, most of them were in their 20s. And they bought houses for $200,000 to $250,000, and you can still buy a house for that in Sacramento, a nice house for about $280,000. And so they're saying, look, you know, it's not that far. So first of all, my question to you in the chat room. I know. Joe in the chat room, by the way, here in the after show, he said when Rush went through withdrawal, they put him in a coma for 2 weeks. He got a pass on the symptoms. He did, actually. They did. And they do that now. It's they put you in the coma for 24 hours. They put you in the hospital, if you want, for 2 weeks. Let's talk about that, if you want to. Do you want to? Let's talk about this. Because one in three of us are on the opiates, they're now trying to get people off, okay? And one of the growing industries is medically induced detox. And there's two ways to detox. You can go in and they give you really potent drugs that are as bad as the opiate and in some ways worse to get off the opiate. And these are drugs that aren't supposed to be as addictive, but they are. It's called Suboxone, and it's just as addictive as an opiate. It's even more powerful in some ways than an opiate. So they give you that. They give you Clonidin for the diarrhea and the sweating, Imodium, and they give you Ativan for the roller coaster of the psychological things that you're going to have. Okay? Those are the drugs, Suboxone, which is an opiate replacement that's almost as bad, Clonidine, and Ativan. Those are the drug cocktails of detox. So imagine someone wanting to quit drugs, okay? They go to the medical establishment and say, I don't want to be on this opiate anymore. What does the medical establishment do? Says, oh, then here, take three pills. Take Clonidin, Suboxone, and Ativan. You don't want to be on the opiate? That's fine. We'll get you off the opiate. Here, take these. I didn't do that. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to say this opiate is screwing with my body. It's lowering my testosterone. It's lowering my motivation. It's causing all these problems. Let me take Clonidine, Suboxone, and Ativan to correct the problems? No, that doesn't make any fucking sense to me at all. That's like saying you're fat because you eat ice cream. Here, have steak, potatoes, and pie instead. You know, that's all it is to me. They're substituting. And then you have to detox from the Suboxone and the Ativan, which isn't pleasant. So no. So with Rush, they put him in a coma, literally a coma, for 24 hours. And they rushed his body with opiate blockers, okay? It's called Narcan. And what that did, or does, when they put you under, is it immediately blocks your ability to receive an opiate. okay? You just can't receive it. It blocks your receptors. Throws your body into immediate detox. Immediate detox. So then while you're under those 24 hours, they pump you full of Imodium and liquids and everything. And so when you wake up, you don't have the diarrhea. You don't have the chills. You don't have the sneezing. You don't have the stomach cramps. You don't have all the things that are, in fact, you know, the horrible reasons that people don't detox. Here's a problem with that. Again, when you wake up, to make sure that you don't get the symptoms, they immediately put you on a small course of Suboxone, Ativan, and Clonidine. So they put you in a coma. They flush the toxins out of your system, basically. They prevent the opiate receptors from receiving, and then you wake up and they give you more meds. Rush is probably on Ativan to this day. He might be on Suboxone for all we know, but he can say he's not on an opiate. Do you see how that works? Do you see what's going on there? Okay, back to Sacramento. Do any of you in my chat room that are in the Bay Area, what do you think of Sacramento? I want your honest opinion. Is it a pit? Is it Cowtown? Is it growing and burgeoning and becoming something great? Or is it, Carell, you would die there, don't go? Tell me the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Sacramento. Discuss. Tell me now in the chat room or at Facebook Live. I know some of you live near there. What do you think of it? Could I move there and then take part of things in San Francisco? Do you think one day they'll build a BART all the way over to Sacramento? Or is it a pit? What do you say? Too hot, too far, commute would be brutal, but you work from home. Yeah, that's true. Too hot and too far. How hot does it get there? I don't want heat. I'm from Chico. Sacramento is nice. It's growing. Less culture than LA or SF. Hot, hot, hot. You would get bored. See, I knew it. I knew there was a reason I wasn't going to do this. I was looking at houses in Sacramento going, oh, I could live there. Oh, I could live there. And then I thought, could you really live in the center of California? It's like, yeah, no. 116 in Sacramento. Sweet baby Jesus on the little cross of Mary. Burning up. Oh, Lord. Might as well move to Vegas. Oh, it's all hell, isn't it? We've created a hell on earth. Everywhere is going to be like Mars soon. We're just going to be scorching. We're all going to be little lizard people. We're going to look like the guy on Star Trek that had the gills and the lizard head. Remember, he fought Captain Kirk in a really weird staged fight. Remember that? We're all going to look like him, like a Skeksis, basically. That's the next generation of humans. Skeksis. It's lovely. All right. I'm done. We're done. You and I. We're done for the day. I'm glad you were here. I was in a mood, obviously. I was amped up. I'm amped up today. See, I feel amped up, but my body's trying to catch up with the amped. Does that make sense? I feel revved up, but my system revving up and getting going, it's making me huffy and puffy and you know, like anxious. And that's weird. But I feel like ready to go, like ready to go. I am ready. So find a sugar daddy, put in a swimming spa, and stay put. I am with you. God, if I could, I am with you, Joe. Swear to God, swear to Jesus. If I could find a partner, not even a sugar daddy, just a husband or a lover who would move in and pay half the expenses because they're living here, and we could afford a pool, I'd stay here for a while longer. I'd refi the loans and just stay put for a minute. But that ain't, you know, that's I'm not even looking for a husband. And look at me, I'm a mess. Hi, I love you, but I'm a little dizzy right now. Yeah, no, that's not going to work. I got to be healthy for a boyfriend. And I may be. It just might all be part of the detox and be part of the readjustment, realignment, and being out of shape and being fat, as my cardiologist said. Well, you're probably huffing and puffing because you're a lard-ass, you tubby. What'd you think, Lardo? You're just going to cart around all that shit and not have to all huff and puff? Of course you're going to huff and puff. You're a blimp. That's how I feel today. I feel like Goodyear, which I guess they closed their blimp operations. Times are tough. Who knew? Who knew? Chat with other Carell listeners. Watch me live. Get a live feel of the show every day at noon at reallycarell.com. That's really Carell, K-A-R-E-L.com. Also at facebook.com/reallycarell. Check me out every day at noon. Hey, you know what? I'm giving you everything from the show, the YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of it for free in the Carellcast app. Just go to the app store of your choice and download the Carellcast app, Android, iOS. It's yours for free now. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. It's just some words. I am bloated. It just gives a horrible, horrible contour to your hand. You just see this person all, you know. Okay, so this morning, Miss Ember and I were listening to 70s, mellow 70s hits. And I was shocked how many I knew. But I was listening, okay? Oh, she's rolling over back. Oh, she's so cute. I was listening, and there was this song that I used to know, right? And it starts, you know, well, please come to Boston for the springtime. And he goes through these cities, like, please come to Denver for the summer. And then he's all, please come to Los Angeles for the forever. And the chorus is always that she says no. Please come to L.A. She just said no, but will you come home to me? Please come to Boston, but she said no, but will you come home to me? Please come to Denver, she said no, but will you come home to me? Okay, so halfway through the song, I go, okay, first of all, what the fuck are you doing traveling all around if you got this bitch at home? Okay, what is that about? Why are you in Denver and L.A. and everywhere? What are you doing? And then he says, I'm a rambling man, I don't just sell. No. You can't be begging this woman to come and join you and like telling her you love her, but she's got to come to you. Second of all, I thought, you're a loser. You are a total loser. What a loser. You can't keep a job, obviously. You're drifting from town to town. You can't keep a girlfriend. What a loser. Why do you get a song anyway? So then I was thinking about a lot of the songs that we like. There's a lot of losers in music. Okay, there is. Remember Billy Don't Be a Hero? Basically telling the guy to be a coward. The marching band came down along Main Street. The soldiers blue fell in behind. Billy, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Remember that song? Billy, don't be a hero. Come back and make me your wife. So be a coward, Billy. Hide. So we're telling Billy to go to war and duck. That's what we're telling. What's up? You know, Barbara Streisand said recently, they asked her about her shows. And they said, how come you don't do a lot of your hits? And she said, well, a lot of my early hits were victim songs. She said, and I don't like those anymore. You know, like, oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. Oh, my life is just despair. But I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright. All right. You know, what a horrible message, you know? And Billie Holiday and then Diana Ross. Diana Ross stopped singing one of her hits because it's the same song, too. And it's, I don't know why should he isn't true. He beats me, too. What can I do? He beats me, too. What can I do? Oh, my man, I love him so. Really? And now these are hits. And if you listen to the 50s songs, women, oh, my God. Oh, my God. There were so many songs about how just I'll be waiting at home. Come home to me. I'll make you such a good wife. I'll cook. I'll clean. I'll birth out babies. What was wrong with us musically? Nowadays, they don't have that in pop music. The last great suffering song of all time was Titanic. That's the last great victim song ever. You're dead, but I still love you. I won't let go. You're mine forever. That's the last victim song there is. That's the ultimate victim song. So go back and listen to 70 songs, and you'll hear that we were a bunch of cowardly, womanizer cheating. Me and Mrs. Jones. That whole song is about an affair. We were a bunch of cheating cowards. That's what we were. Losers rambling around the country. Can't even keep a relationship going. All right, I'm really out of here. I gotta go. Goodbye. I love you. It was great seeing you. Au revoir. Till tomorrow. Bonne nuit. Bonjour. Au revoir. And all that. Are you watching me now? Oh, that was the end of A Star Is Born. I fell in love with Barbara Streisand. Well, you can fall in love with me every single day at reallycorell.com at noon. That's reallycorell.com and at facebook.com/reallycorell. Watch me each and every day at noon. Are you watching Life in Segments? You should be. Now in its third season. That's right, 3 seasons on Free Speech TV. You can also watch it every single day at lifeinsegments.com. Life in Segments, the great reality chat show from yours truly.
You You're listening to The Corral Show.